Scott Speaks coming at you on a Saturday evening. Todd and I tried to get together earlier this week. I actually wasn't traveling this week, so there's really no reason for us to not have an episode, but Todd had some stuff to do, and so we don't have an episode. I don't know how else to put it, but that's okay. So we're doing a late night Scott Speaks. This one's probably going to go up pretty late as well, because my kid was not able to sleep. She went to bed pretty late, and then she actually, which she almost never does, she actually got up, like, in the middle, not in the middle of the night, but, you know, late night for adults, but middle of her sleep for her. And I had to just kind of sit with her in her bed. We're trying not to do that, but here we are. So, this one's going to be up pretty late. It's going to be close to actually make the midnight cutoff. We'll have to wait and see what happens. But anyway, So that's what's happening in my world. Tomorrow's June. My birthday month. Just kidding. I'm in my fucking 40s. No one says that. But it is. June 1st is tomorrow. Or as you're listening to this, it's already June, obviously. And I got to say, man, not to be a hack or cliche, but boy, does time fly. Because how the hell are we already in June? This year's, you know, 30 days from being halfway over. It's crazy to me. A lot of people say that a lot of the time, and sometimes I get it. A lot of times I'm like, why would you say something like that? Like, you know, the cliche of, which is, I don't necessarily think is true, but time flies when you're having a good time. I mean, it's been pretty standard year the first 5 months. Just been working and going through the motions of life. Nothing too major. I mean, traveling a lot, obviously, because I do that with the job, but nothing too different from how the back third of 2024 ended. So, but it really has. It's been a lightning quick first 5 months. But here we are. So, yeah, I will say, even though Todd and I weren't able to get together, we actually have a plan for next week's show, believe it or not. I think it's going to be next week's show. Very music-centric, very 90s punk-centric. So if that's your thing, definitely make sure you check out next week's podcast whenever it is that we do it. Should be fun. Also, if you're not familiar with the band or bands that we're going to talk about, you're probably not going to like it. Although we'll probably do some sibling dribbling stuff and, you know, whatever else is on the docket to discuss. But anyway, also be remiss if I didn't mention this, because I don't think we mentioned it on the show last week, but last Sunday was Memorial Day. No, I'm sorry. Last Monday was Memorial Day. So just always want to recognize that and give thanks to those that made the ultimate sacrifice in defending our nation. I don't want to go into too much detail there. I have nothing new to add, but again, I'd be remiss if I didn't at least mention it. And again, for those that don't know, Memorial Day is where we honor those that left to defend our nation, or didn't leave necessarily, I guess, and did not make it back. Veterans Day is where you find someone who left and came back and thank them for their service. And it is odd to me that Memorial Day is kind of the unofficial start to summer. I mean, I guess you could hook it into making sense, because you're like, well, these people died for the freedoms that we have and enjoying all things summer here in the States. Okay, I guess I believe that. But it's also, and I found myself doing this leading into last weekend, you know, you're like in work emails to either coworkers or industry cohorts, whatever, It's like, do you say enjoy the holiday weekend? I think I found myself saying a lot of have a pleasant long weekend, because we all, you know, it's a federal holiday. We all know that we get the day off, or at least most of us do. But you can't really say have a blast this weekend, you know, because you're supposed to be taking a moment to reflect on and think about, whether you know people personally or not, but think about those people that did, you know, lose their lives in defense of this country. And so it's just tough to say, you know, go have fun at the lake this weekend, get blitzed. You might be thinking that. I hope my friend has a good time at the lake this weekend and doesn't have too many beers, but it's just awkward to say. So anyway, whatever. Just wanted to cover those two quick topics. I had two other things I want to talk about. The main topic for the evening, and probably what will be on the picture for this pod, is about something that the wife and I just finished talking about. And she'll never listen to this, so we will probably talk about this the next time we do the other half. But we might not. So I'll go ahead and talk about it tonight. And that is, we watched a documentary on the Discovery Channel about the failed submersible, if you will, company, and the actual mission where they were going down to view the Titanic and it imploded. This happened, I think, a little over a year ago. I just watched this and I don't remember the exact date, but anyway. And there's currently, excuse me, they just kind of wrapped it up and reported their findings, but there was an ongoing investigation into trying to figure out what happened, how it happened, could it have been prevented. If you don't know, the name of the company was Ocean Gate. It was this guy. Wow, his name just completely escaped me. I should have had something open where I could be reading this as I was talking about it. But anyway, the company was called Ocean Gate. The submersible was called the Titan. And I'm going to find the guy's name. Stockton Rush was the name of the guy. He was one of the, I guess it was 2023 that this incident happened, that I'm looking at it. June 18th, 23. There we go. So almost 2 years ago. He was one of the people on board, along with, I might as well mention the people by name, because they were, for the most part, quite innocent. Why is this not? Here we go. Anyway, there were Stockton, two, or at least one, I think, actual, like, employee of his who was kind of co-piloting, if you will. And then you had two people who paid quite a bit of money to there it is. Jeez, I couldn't find the main article. Anyway, to join, they also, there we go. Jeez, I couldn't find their names. It's a British businessman. His name was, forgive me if I mispronounce this, Shahzada Dawood, and his son Suleiman. And then you had French deep sea explorer and Titanic expert Hamish Harding, American chief executive officer of Ocean Gate, which is Stockton Rush. And there was one other guy. Why is his name not on here? British businessman, Pakistani businessman. Oh, Paul Henri Narjolet. That was the French guy. So I was reading it backwards. Hamish Harding was a British businessman. So Hamish, Shahzada, and Shahzada's son, Suleiman, all paid, according to this documentary, $250,000. To go down in this submersible to view the Titanic wreckage. And quite famously, it's a pretty big news story 2 summers ago, it imploded and they were all killed instantly. The kind of the point or the main theme of the documentary was how unsafe this was all along and how, like, if this never should have happened, if there were any regulations worth their salt overseeing this company and this project, this would have never gotten off the ground, pun intended. And it just shouldn't have happened. It was very presentable, very preventable. And basically that this guy, Stockton Rush, was made out to be independently wealthy historically, like family money. And this was just his life's mission, was to take people down to the Titanic and tool around, you know, see it firsthand. But he just skirted so many production flaws and tried to rush the product to market and literally pay with his life. They did something along the lines of 75 to 80 dives with this submersible before the fateful one. And pretty much every dive that had any sort of depth, sorry, I'm very tired, had any sort of depth to it, they essentially ignore the warning signs. So just as an example, and they gave plenty of examples of this, but just as an example, they went down and this was months before, and heard very loud, like pops and cracking sounds. And the hull, which is the key to these dives, was essentially, you know, breaking under the weight of the pressure, because they're going 2.5 miles straight down in the ocean. And, you know, many things have explored those depths before, but rarely, if not ever, were they, you know, manned vessels. These were all just basically sea drones, for lack of a better term. So, but yeah, the carbon fiber, is that the term I'm trying to look for? I've immediately forgotten everything I just saw in this 2-hour and 20-minute documentary. It's very annoying. But yeah, so the hull of the ship had been cracking, making noises. One of the things that happened at the very end of the documentary is they mentioned that the submersible during the off season, which is during the winter, was just sitting at a dock, like out in the open. This is in Newfoundland in Canada, so susceptible to rain, wind, snow, ice. And, you know, I don't think I need to explain how ice works. If water gets into cracks, turns into ice, it expands. So like joints and connections could have been all jacked up. I'm not saying they didn't necessarily test that from a safety perspective, but clearly they didn't test it as well as they should have. But yeah, so just sketchy from the get-go. And what they're, again, what the crux of this documentary was to say, look, this should have never happened. And now they're actually at the very end, you know, in kind of the epilogue, if you will, of the documentary, they're like, we're considering, this is U.S. Navy or U.S. Coast Guard, I guess, we're considering pressing charges. Now, my wife asks this, she's like, how do you press charges on a dead guy? I'm like, well, if he has an estate, you can, you know, for the living descendants of the, or family members of the decedents, those that died, you can certainly go after any money that he might have, or his wife might have, or whatever. And apparently they both came for money. So, and carbon fiber is the term. I don't know why I couldn't confirm that in my own mind. Anyway, so, but several things were pretty interesting to me. First of all, again, this is a national news story. I did remember it happening. So when we saw it, when Jamie and I both saw that this documentary is coming up, it's like, we should probably watch that. It's probably pretty interesting. The main thing I did not realize is that it had made so many dives. I literally thought that this thing was poorly constructed and this was like its maiden voyage or maybe its second or third voyage and it imploded on itself. No, they'd been down 80 times. Again, not every time to those depths, but they'd gone down 80 times. Now, the other thing that kind of shocked me is just looking at, and there were many shots of this. The inside of this, it was basically like a big Tic Tac. That's what it looked like. Probably, I guess, 4 feet tall. Like you could maybe kneel down, but you certainly couldn't stand in that thing. No chance. And they could only take five, maybe six people. And that would have been very tight. Like very tight. So, you know, you think about these multi-million dollar projects. It's like you couldn't make it more comfortable. There were no chairs that I could see. Like it just looked very uncomfortable. Was one of the other things that kind of surprised me. It just, I, again, with the kind of money that I know was sunk into this thing, it's like, well, obviously, A, make it safer, but B, make it more comfortable. Like, can we not add some comfort to this thing? I mean, come on. But, and again, the other thing, they had gone down a couple of times, sometimes with Stockton in the submersible, sometimes not. But they'd gone down several times and seen Titanic wreckage. And I did not know that. I literally thought they were trying to do this for the first time all the way down. And they didn't make it as if it was like a Bermuda Triangle situation. And it's like, no one's getting down here to see this with the naked eye. You can send down machinery. You can send down sea drones, whatever you want to call them. No, this is the Titanic speaking, the curse of the Titanic. No one's going down to see this. But that wasn't the case. Again, they'd been down a couple times. So, but yeah, so I'm looking at the list here again. Again, the people on the ship, the Indian father and son were 48 and 19 respectively. The British businessman was 58, and then that French explorer was 77. So maybe and Stockton himself is 61. So maybe going out, you know, when they say go out doing what you love or whatever, I don't know. The other interesting thing that I will say is that there were there were so many employees. Like, I don't know why I thought you could just kind of tow it out in the ocean and then, you know, just take off and, like, direct yourself. But again, this is off the coast of Newfoundland, pretty far out. But, yeah, there were, like, 25, 30 employees that obviously stayed above on top of the water and kind of helped them, guided them. Were there for, you know, radio contact if any issues or questions came up. But yeah, no help when you're that low. And then the final thing that I'll say that was kind of not groundbreaking, but something I'd never thought of. And then quite frankly, I will probably do a little more research on because I'm kind of interested by this thought. And they didn't expand on it. They just kind of mentioned it and left it, let it sit out there. Is this concept that the deaths for those that perished were essentially instantaneous. And one of the guys who was a friend of Stockton's and also in the submersible business but did not work for OceanGate, described it as they would have been, you know, eliminated with the heat that like is hotter than the sun. Now, I took physics. I took AP physics. I passed the AP physics exam. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. How could implosion, unless he just means it was so swift and so quick, and not to be too graphic, but their bodies essentially disintegrated instantaneously because of the implosion. That is equivalent to the heat. But heat just doesn't make sense to me. And also, I will say, and they showed this in the documentary, and if you look this up on Wikipedia or something, you can see this as well. When I hear implosion, you know, I'm literally picturing almost a cartoonish, like, here's something that exists, and then it's gone. And someone else used that exact terminology, like, you just cease to be. That's how quickly it happened. Yet, they showed the wreckage that was ultimately found, and it's confusing to me because it looks like just half of the thing is just sitting there. So it's like, did the hull just implode? And maybe it like pulled in to the vessel and just shot through all of the men? And well, the four men and boy, if you will. Here we go. I'll read some stuff here that I see on Wikipedia. It says, in describing what must have happened, Rear Admiral John Mauger of the U.S. Coast Guard said that the debris was consistent with a, quote, catastrophic loss of the pressure chamber. Mauger stated that he did not have an answer as to whether the bodies of those on board would be recovered, but he did say that it was an, quote, incredibly unforgiving environment. A funeral director from the U.S. mentioned, quote, it happens so fast that their brains don't even have time to register what's happening or even sense pain. The pressure is so great that the bodies will liquefy, like when you crush an egg with your bare hands. So, I mean, two things. First of all, for the families of the decedents, I guess that's some level of comfort that our loved ones did not experience pain. They were just liquefied. I mean, again, very harsh terminology, but accurate, I suppose. But also, wow. Like, what? That's crazy. It's crazy. And I will say one other thing that they highlighted in the documentary is how during the recovery effort, you know, they found various things. They found pieces of the ship. They found a couple parts of like Stockton's clothing and some of the other guys' clothing, but they didn't mention anything else. They didn't mention bones. They didn't mention organs. And look, you're in the bottom of the sea. I mean, it took them several days. They discovered it. They did the rescue mission, not rescue, recovery mission was 4 days later. I mean, if you're, again, it's such a harsh term, but if you're a human body and you're liquefied, okay, and you're in the bottom of the ocean for a couple days, A, you're going to, you know, various parts of you are going to float away. But B, various sea creatures are probably also going to take part in you. So, yeah. But anyway, really interesting. Check it out. I don't even remember what the hell it's called now that I think about it. But whatever. It's on Discovery Channel. I think it just came out a couple days ago. So, you know, worth watching. And I'm trying to see if in media, if they put the name, whatever, it doesn't matter. Just, you'll find it. I'm pretty sure it's the only one out there. Oh, and I also just saw that apparently the family of, not the Naywood family, but the 77-year-old French guy, his family is suing OceanGate. I don't know if OceanGate even has any assets that they could go after, if I can be honest, simply because this would have had to have. Well, first of all, I think they were already in dire straits financially, which is why they were charging $250,000 a piece to do this. But this would have had to have had a major financial, negative financial impact on the company. I mean, obviously, they're not doing any tours anymore. Probably had a lot of creditors they had to pay off. Their only source of income was the $250,000. I mean, other than private investing, was the $250,000 that people were paying to go down. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, who cares? But again, the gist of it was just a very irresponsible construction, and just the way that, again, mostly Stockton Rush being the name of the guy, the way that he just kept pushing and pushing and pushing to continue taking these missions, even when, and look, they had a lot of footage of him acknowledging that things weren't great safety-wise, you know, there are, and even joking about it with some people, you know, yeah, this could be dangerous. You might not make it back, you know, and even it's, and they pointed this out in the documentary, obviously at some point he even pointed out, he was like, look, we're incorporated in the Bahamas, so don't even try to sue me for wrongful death or something. It's just like, bro, first of all, not the time to make that joke, obviously. But yeah, just a bunch of holes, no pun intended. Oh, true final thing. The front hull, not hole, hull, was locked in by four like screws, essentially. It's basically, once you're in there, you're in there unless someone from the outside gets you out. Now, you know, maybe the space shuttle is the same way. Maybe, I don't know. But, and I'm not even claustrophobic, I'd be like, hell no. I need a way out of here. I need a latch. Maybe a two key situation, turn your key, sir, whatever. I need some sort of emergency release valve. And it did not exist. So pretty sketchy for sure. But anyway, interesting stuff. Check it out. And you'll enjoy it. I really do think you'll find it interesting. I certainly did. So anyway, all right. I had one other quick thing I was going to talk about, but I don't remember what that thing is. So we'll call it a pod there. Thanks for listening. Like I said, next week, Todd and I assume we'll do this next week unless Todd's traveling and I don't know about that. I'm also traveling, but I'm always traveling, so it shouldn't be an issue. But next week, Todd and I already do have a kind of show plan, which is, aside from when we do WeWatchable episodes, that's very rare that we have a show plan. So just keep that in mind. But anyway, yeah. So we'll kill the show there. Thanks for listening. Sorry this is a little late. This has just been a heck of a night. So these things happen sometimes. But hey, still got up. It's still Saturday as far as I'm concerned. So happy May 31st. As I'm saying this, enjoy June, everybody. And until next time, guys.